Good morning.
Good morning, Elias.
And what shall we discuss, my friend?
Good question. I guess my first question is, a little bit of news. So I found out, maybe about a week ago, that I'm finally, the hepatitis C is gone. And
congrats.
Thank you. And I noticed that the day after, I got this very intense impulse to reach out to Mary about a session. And it almost felt so intense that it felt kind of beyond me, per se. And I don't know if, I guess my question is, was there some kind of nudging from you or some other energy? Because it just felt so intense and kind of sudden that it almost felt like, yeah, beyond me.
I would say that it actually isn't beyond you, but I would say that I have been responsive to it.
Mm.
That encouraging you, therefore definitely yes in that respect. But actually what I would say to you is that you have actually approached a point in which you are ready for your next step, and that is the reason that you felt this so intensely.
Yeah, that sounds pretty accurate for what I'm feeling right now. So I had a couple quick things, hopefully quick things, and some stats and friends and stuff to do first, and then yeah, I would love to talk about a big next step. So I'm going to scan through my document here. But going back to Mel and I, is Mel also a leader personality?
No.
Okay. My friend Brian in Tucson, we are definitely soulmates, I would say.
Yes.
And I actually had an impression, I guess I forgot about his essence name. So I have just a couple letters. M is in Mary, U, K, and then a R.
One moment. Actually, you were close. I would say Mercana.
Can you spell that?
Mercanah.
Ah, okay. And I also came up with some impressions, I think yesterday, but I don't know about belonging or aligning, but I had Sumari and Zuli.
Correct.
And I'm thinking belonging, Zuli.
Reverse.
Okay. And soft and political.
Correct.
Okay. And, why not? How many focuses do we share? I can get a 5 and a 6.
156.
Okay. And then my other friend, Emily, I wrote down Tumold and Sumafi.
Reverse.
Belonging, Sumafi, aligning, Tumold.
Correct.
And emotional.
Correct.
and intermediate.
Correct.
So she has the same stats as me, which is not surprising to me. And her and I are soulmates as well. I feel pretty strongly.
Yes.
And what was her essence name? I haven't had any impressions about that.
Essence name. Yan. YAUN.
And how many focuses do we share?
Your impression?
This time I got a 5 and a 7.
Actually, reverse.
75? I'm thinking 375.
At this moment, it would be 75,
Okay.
although that you may have likely changed that very quickly.
Right, and then my friend Catherine here in Charlotte, for essence name, I got a Z, Y, and a G.
Essence name, Jillian, G Y L L I A N.
All right, and I have Tumold and Ilda.
Correct.
And is that belonging to Mold? All right, and then political.
Correct.
And I've kind of been going back and forth between intermediate or soft, but I feel like I'm leaning towards soft.
Correct.
And how many focuses do we share?
And your impression?
35.
That would be 135.
Okay. And we are soulmates as well. Was that a yes?
Yes, correct.
Okay. So I guess sticking with that for a second. So another piece of news, I guess, is I've moved to Charlotte to be closer to family. My parents are finally here as well, so both me, my sister, and my parents are all living here in Charlotte now. That's a whole bigger topic, but so I met Catherine here in Charlotte, and I've definitely felt a pretty strong attraction and connection with her. And I definitely feel like part of this bigger topic of next steps is getting back into dating, which I still have not done at all since Mel and I separated. So it's been, what, 3.5 years or so since I've dated anyone. And so I guess just a basic gist, is Catherine somebody that, well, rather than ask you, I guess I'll say my impression. How about that? My impression about her and I is that in the moment kind of way, I feel a pretty strong compatibility, like a pretty good chemistry. But I also feel like in the bigger picture of like a longer term partnership that we are not necessarily, at least right now, or my ideas, we're not necessarily on the same page or looking for the same things, so that could be a conflict. That's kind of
I would
all I
agree.
have at this point. Yeah.
What I would is this is actually a very good example for you of the difference between liking someone, being drawn to someone, being attracted to someone, and in some capacities being compatible with someone, and then the difference between that and being natural complements
Right.
that you can like someone, you can love someone,
Right.
and you can have commonalities with that individual. You can express a type of relationship with that individual and not necessarily be complements with each other, and therefore not necessarily generate a successful ongoing relationship.
Right, which doesn't necessarily mean that I should not pursue that in some capacity or that it would be bad, but that's kind of the, yeah.
I def the factor that an individual may not necessarily be a complement to you in the capacity to be a partner doesn't mean that you should avoid them or that you shouldn't with them in other types of relationships.
Right. All right. Well, that was pretty much my impression. So we can move on from that for now. Thank you for that. I wanted to come back to something we brought up quite a while back, but it's always stuck with me. And it's really more of kind of a question in relation to Mel, but I don't know that she's ever going to have a conversation with you. And I just want to know at this point. So a while back, we had talked about her connection to Tompkin. And that was based on an experience that she shared with me of feeling like someone was kind of standing in her room. And you confirmed that it was Tompkin. And I asked if there was some particular connection. And you had a very emphatic yes. And I specifically didn't go into that because I thought maybe at that time, maybe someday she would talk to you about it. But I don't think that's very likely at this point. So I'm just curious what that connection is or why you seem so emphatic about it.
I would say that this individual grades a very similar energy signature and also has generated many experiences with that essence, not only in this dimension.
Interesting. Okay. I'll take that. All right, another one related to Mel as well. This was something I meant to ask a couple times. So before we separated, she had gotten a cat, Riley, and I felt more connected to that cat than I think I've ever felt to another animal or definitely like a pet. And I guess long story short, I guess there's two parts. One, I'm kind of curious what it was about her that I felt so connected to, and it was kind of the shared thing with Mel too, that I mean both Mel and I just adored this cat, and I feel like there was just something very special about it, and I never quite could figure that out. But also kind of more importantly is when we separated, which was very difficult and challenging in all the ways that it usually is, and within about 2 weeks of me moving out, Riley developed like a stomach, I don't remember if it was cancer, I think it was like a stomach tumor, and she died rapidly. Like we ended up, I met her at the hospital, and we ended up putting her down, even though, we had separated. And that was very traumatic. And there's just something about that whole experience that felt very, like, obviously, it's not a coincidence that we separated and then that happened, but I don't quite understand what it was, or if Riley was just kind of taking on that energy of, like, symbolically, like a death, or such a intense transition for Mel and I, or I don't know. I guess I'm just curious to hear what you would say about that whole thing.
What I would say to you, my friend, is it is very understandable. I would say that, first of all, you have engaged configuring that energy many times.
The energy of Riley, the cat.
Many times you have incorporated that energy as a companion in many different forms. Therefore, it was tremendously familiar. And this is the reason that you felt such a connection. I would also express to you that this is not unusual that when an animal companion is considerably connected or bonded to a human individual, when that relationship is disengaged by death or by some other situation or circumstance, it isn't unusual for the animal companion to disengage. They do that actually more frequently and consistently than individuals may actually think. It is not an unusual phenomenon.
So, you're saying specifically that I was very connected. Was Mel also similarly connected? Or was it more me?
I would say that she had a connection to that creature, but not in the capacity that you did. Let me also say to you, my friend, that when you configure an energy in the form of an animal, they don't always come to you in the manner that you expect. It isn't always that yourself may necessarily choose them per se. You may actually connect to them through someone else. Someone else may, it, in objective terms,
Right.
acquire an animal, and then that doesn't necessarily mean that the animal bonds to them. And it doesn't necessarily mean that the fact that the individual acquired the animal and that they have the perception that they own it, that isn't necessarily true.
Right. I mean, we don't really ever own animals or even our kids, so I get that.
Precisely. And in that, at times, another individual acquiring an animal may simply be the avenue in which another individual presents that configuration of the animal to themselves again. Which
Interesting. Okay. I feel like that's I don't know what to say to that.
let me say to you, does not mean that the animal choosing to disengage is your fault. It isn't.
Yeah. I think it's just it's not so much that specifically, but I think the piece that was the hardest for me in that whole experience was that feeling like I've said this before, but I mean, it sounds kind of interesting saying it out loud, but I felt like I was somehow more comfortable with Mel and I separating and specifically me moving out because I knew that she still had Riley. And then when Riley so suddenly just disengaged like that after I left, I just felt so tremendously not I guess just tremendously sad for the loss that Mel had in such a short time. It just seemed like I don't even know the word. It just seemed very traumatic to be losing a partnership and then lose the cat, you know, the companion that was, yeah. There's just something about that that always felt super tragic. I guess tragic is the word that I had always felt and labeled that experience with. So it's not that I feel
I am.
guilt per se, but it just, yeah, that just feels very tragic.
And I acknowledge your compassion in that.
Yeah. Well, okay. I will move on from that for now. Guess the only other kind of quick thing. I've never really asked much about other people in the forum, in terms of connections, but two people I just kind of threw on a list because I was just been curious more recently. So one would be Samta. I always felt a very familiar connection with him, and always really enjoyed his sessions that he shared. We never really interacted personally until more recently. I had a couple impressions about one of his sessions recently, and so we've chatted a bit, but I guess just I'm curious about that connection. And then also Vivette, kind of similar. I just have always felt like a warm connection to her, and I've always really enjoyed her sessions that she shared and her energy that I feel, you know, as much as I can feel it through Facebook and sessions and all that. So, yeah, I guess I'm just curious about my connection to those two people, if there's like a soulmate connection or just we've shared a lot of focuses or something.
Both.
Yeah.
They both with both.
Oh, all three of
I
us.
would also express that you incorporate a counterpart action in this focus with Vivette, and I would say that these are two individuals that you share a tremendous familiarity with.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if I have any other specific things, maybe I'll bring that up sometime in the future.
To your benefit, to experiment and engage with each of them more.
Objectively? Yeah. Well, it's funny. I joked to Mary that now that I live on the East Coast, that I might actually come to one of the group sessions one of these days. So maybe I will meet them in person someday. But
And that is a very strong possibility if you engage that
yeah.
action.
Okay. I think that's pretty much all the kind of quick things. I guess the rest of the time, there's multiple pieces to this whole next step piece, but I guess my sort of short overview is like, okay, I've moved here to the East Coast to be with family. I'm having a ton of challenges with that. I still feel like I don't really resonate with being here. This is not a place that I would choose for any other reason to be. And that's feeling pretty difficult still, even though it's been almost a year. So there's that whole piece of how do I be here with my family and actually be of benefit and not just benefit to them, but benefit to me. That's a big next step question. There's the hepatitis piece that now that that's done, I really want to make sure that I don't continue to isolate and don't manifest something similar or reconfigure that in some other way that's not beneficial. So how do I move forward from that and not recreate that or create something else like that? And there's still the whole career piece. I've been training my sister and training a friend, Catherine, that I just talked about. And that's feeling super fulfilling, but I still haven't moved in the direction of actually creating a job at this point. And then it's just, I'm just sitting here thinking about how all these things are all connected, obviously. But the other
Are
piece,
because
go ahead.
yes, because connected and they are all connected. Now, in that, as you are thinking about it,
Yeah.
what would you express connects them all?
Well, the simplest thing that comes to mind is me, that I mean, obviously me, but I think there's something well, the way I'm hearing it in my head is the way I always hear you say it, which is placing myself in the primary position, right? I don't want to keep living my life being on autopilot or kind of just following other people or doing things because other people, or I really want to place myself in the primary position and move towards my passions and create the life that I want intentionally. And I feel like I'm very aware that I've been waiting and waiting and procrastinating and waiting. And even this move here was, you know, quote unquote, for my family's sake, not necessarily because I really wanted to move to Charlotte. And I still really question that decision. So I don't know. I guess that's kind of the core that I see is how do I connect with my family and not isolate myself but also still be in the primary position and be helpful in living my passions and sharing myself in some bigger way. I don't know.
And this all is connected to the next step.
Yeah.
And the next step, what connects all these different pieces, or what seem to be different pieces together, yes, is you. What part of you? It is the part of you in expressing yourself.
Yeah, right.
This.
That's literally what I just said to Mary. I don't know why I didn't think of that when
Difficulty for you for most of your life.
you asked me.
And therefore, it is affecting of you in every direction, regardless of what the imagery is. Therefore, regardless of what the subject is, a relationship, your parents, where you live, what you do, a job. It doesn't matter because all of it is connected by how you express yourself or don't.
Yeah, that seems like the absolute crux of it.
What I would say to you, first of all, is if you were to incorporate a moment now and think about as far backward as you can remember, and think about what can you identify as the first time, or as much as you can remember, the first time that you felt that you felt that it was not acceptable for you to express yourself. The first time framework, perhaps not the first incident, but the first time framework, the earliest memories you have of restricting yourself in not expressing yourself.
I mean, pretty much as far back as I can remember, being, I don't even know, 4 or 5, 6 years old.
Very well, now stop with that and express to myself. Now, when you think about recalling those memories, when you think about those memories, what is the feeling?
Physically in my body, I feel a very strong tingling and tightness in my solar plexus.
Very well. And to the best of your ability, define what that feeling meant to you then. Not now. What did that feeling mean to you then?
I mean, it's hard for me to imagine what it. I guess it's easier for me now and as an adult as I've explored that to.
But that is
Yeah.
That is not the point
Yeah.
presently. To define what that feeling meant to you then, because it has changed. Therefore, in that, if you think about it genuinely, if you place yourself in that memory and you actually allow yourself to connect with that feeling, connect with the feeling, what you actually felt. And in that, at that time, what did that mean? Was it a feeling associated with being afraid? Were you apprehensive? Did you feel dismissed? Did you feel...
I think the two words that come to mind are unsafe and invisible.
Now, the invisible is what you want to be.
Right.
But that is helpful because that is a part of it in defining what you were experiencing. The invisible is the motivation for being quiet or not responding or not expressing yourself because you want to be invisible. The unsafe is excellent because that is defining the feeling more. Now, think about that and move one step further and attempt to define why did you feel unsafe? What were you feeling unsafe about? What did you anticipate would happen if you were expressing yourself and therefore it wasn't safe? And before you answer that, let me express to you and think about this. When an individual feels unsafe, especially a child, they don't always feel unsafe because something may be anticipated to happen directly to them.
Yeah.
At times, they feel unsafe because they anticipate something happening around them that is uncomfortable, that they don't like. And in that, it may not directly be occurring to them, and it may not even directly involve them, but the child automatically feels directly connected because children perceive themselves to be the sun. The universe revolves around them.
Right.
Therefore, everything is connected to them, and in that, they also, in a manner of speaking, learn very, very, very young to express that perception of being the sun as also being responsible. Therefore, even if something isn't directly affecting them, if something is happening in their environment between other individuals or in circumstances, they still view it as directly affecting them.
Right.
Are you understanding?
I am, yeah. And it's, I never, I didn't feel that something was going to happen to me directly, like I was physically unsafe or I would be harmed physically. But there was, I don't know, I'm having a hard time answering that. But it definitely wasn't that I felt unsafe in that. I mean, so for example, my parents fought a lot. My mom and sister fought a lot. I saw a lot of arguing and screaming and sometimes physical altercations. And I never necessarily felt like that would be directed towards me. But I definitely didn't feel like I could engage with it or I could express how I felt about it. I just felt like I just have to separate myself and be invisible. Yeah. So I don't know how to define.
Now that is excellent, and that is a key point because the interactions between other individuals, if they are arguing, if they are fighting, if they are engaging in manners that you see and witness that are tremendously uncomfortable, or if they are distressing to the other individuals, especially if one individual becomes angry and other individuals react by crying. This can be very distressing and threatening, even though it isn't physically occurring to you, even though you may not be directly involved, it is around you and it is in your environment. And therefore, as a child, you perceive you are involved.
Right.
And in that, the feeling of unsafe and the wanting to create the action of being invisible is twofold. If you are invisible, you can't be responsible for what might occur.
Yes, that resonates a lot.
Therefore, can't be responsible for whatever the other individuals are doing. Then the other factor in being invisible is that once something begins to occur, you can't be involved if you are invisible. Therefore, if you are invisible, the other individuals will ignore you.
Right.
That isn't always correct. That doesn't always hold. That if you are physically present, the other individuals might involve you. They might not, but they might. Therefore, it isn't a guarantee that if you are making yourself invisible, so to speak, in your perception, that the other individuals won't involve you in whatever the conflict is, and therefore whatever is unsafe. But that can be a very strong, it can be a very strong perception and a very strong motivation. Now, in that, let me express to you, this is very common. What happens with children many times is that they develop these associations and these behaviors that help them to function.
Yeah.
Help them to cope. They help them to function. And therefore, they repeat these behaviors frequently. And then those behaviors become habit.
Yeah.
And then what happens is, because the behaviors become habit, the individual, as they grow in different stages of their development, and we're not speaking of adults yet, but in different stages of their development in childhood, they begin expressing this habit in every direction, not simply in relation to their immediate family. They begin to see their entire world from that perspective. Therefore, that habit begins to influence how they express or don't express themselves in many situations. Therefore, if the child is in school, if anything becomes even slightly uncomfortable, and that is all that is required, it doesn't have to be anything similar to what they may be accustomed to in their home, they are hyper alert.
Yeah.
And they're begin to translate this issue of being safe and this expression of being invisible automatically in many, many, many different directions. And then eventually, as they grow, they may be expressing that invisibility automatically as a preventative. Nothing has to be threatened, and nothing has to be uncomfortable or unsafe. The individual begins generating that invisible action automatically all the time. And then they don't have to anticipate anything being uncomfortable. Now, that isn't always successful either.
No, it's not.
Obviously. But it becomes this habit that the individual expresses, and they move in a direction of becoming, in a manner of speaking, farther and farther disassociated with the original expression. And in that, it becomes more and more and more automatic, to the point that the individual incorporates the perception that this is simply their personality. This is who they are. They're quiet.
Right.
They are reserved. They may even perceive themselves to be introverted, which is tremendously incorrect, because introverted individuals are not necessarily shy.
Right. Well, that's everything you're saying feels very accurate, and I feel aware of all of that, and I feel in some ways this move to be closer to my family has put me face to face with, like, okay, this is the origin. This is where I developed these coping mechanisms with my family. And despite all the growth that I've done as an adult and all the experiences I've had and everything I've learned and changed, the way that I've described it, I just said this to Mary earlier. It's like, then I get around my parents and it's like I'm 10 years old again. And I think a lot of people experience that, but I feel like that's the challenge for me right now is, okay, I've learned all these things, I've grown in all these ways, I'm aware of all these things. What do I do with
Application.
them? How do I apply them now, especially in relation to my family, which is where they all developed? And that's the challenge.
Precisely. And now it is the time to move in the direction of application in a different manner. And yes, it is also a matter of, in a manner of speaking, presenting yourself with the origin
Yeah, because I feel like
to
I know that this pattern is it blocks intimacy, it blocks connection because I disconnect and I isolate, and that I know what that does. And I've seen this play out time and time again, and I do feel like my family doesn't really know me in the way that, say, my close friends in Oregon do, because with them I have expressed so much more and shown myself so much more. And so every day almost I'm sitting here like, okay, I'm feeling frustrated with my dad, I'm feeling frustrated with my sister, I'm feeling disconnected, I'm feeling like all these things. And I know that the answer is just express myself, just forget about the consequence, quote unquote. Forget about how they're going to respond. Forget about how this may affect things in the future, and just express myself without expectation or attachment. Just say, okay.
I understand what you are expressing, but I also say that that is somewhat black and white. What I would say to you is, it isn't necessarily about forget about how they will express, how they will respond, how they will react, and simply express yourself anyway. It isn't that black and
Well,
white.
yeah, right. What I mean is don't let those ideas of those things stop me from expressing myself in the moment out of fear.
Ultimately, I would agree with you, ultimately. But in beginning steps, it is a matter of acknowledging that fear. Because now it has become a fear.
Yeah.
But also acknowledging what you know, meaning reminding yourself, first of all, I am not 4 or 5 years old. I am not in that position. This isn't then. This is now. And I am different. That would be the first piece. The next piece is accepting and acknowledging that this is unfamiliar to you, and therefore there may be responses and reactions from other individuals that are uncomfortable because you aren't comfortable with emotional expressions.
Right.
Therefore, initially, they may be uncomfortable, but acknowledging that there is that possibility that other individuals may express in a manner that isn't comfortable for you, but nothing is going to happen to you.
Yeah.
That although their emotional expression may be uncomfortable initially, it isn't an expression that warrants you being afraid, because there is no actual action that is happening to you. No one is actually going to harm you. And that when you actually allow yourself to be in the presence of those emotional expressions, they may be initially uncomfortable only because they are unfamiliar and because the action of being in their presence or listening to them is unfamiliar without the piece of them being harmful. But that piece belongs to the 4-year-old or the 5-year-old or the 6-year-old, not now. Therefore, it is a process, and it is a process of acknowledging every piece of the process, the piece of expressing yourself, the piece of being uncomfortable with what that will influence and what might be the reactions of it, the piece of your own reactions, all of it. They are all pieces that require being acknowledged, because that is significantly important. Because you have been denying all of these pieces for years and years and years. Now it is time to do something different and to actually express. Now, in that, another piece which requires practice, and it may not be easy or comfortable initially, is expressing yourself and then intentionally allowing yourself to listen to whatever the response or the reaction is. You don't have to agree with it, but not to match it with your own reaction. Mm. Not necessarily to match it with your own response. That you don't have to respond to the response.
Right.
That you can hear and receive the response and leave it at that, that you received it. But that you don't have to respond in kind. You don't have to respond at all. Because the point is to be able to receive differently than you have previously. Are you understanding?
I believe so.
Excellent. Now this is the next step, and this is definitely challenging. But what I would is be gentle with yourself and remember, one step at a time. Every single interaction that you have at this point now is an opportunity to practice this. To practice not being invisible, to practice expressing yourself in increments. You don't have to blurt out everything about yourself or express all of your opinions and be placing yourself in the spotlight. That isn't the point. But that you allow yourself in increments to be expressing yourself more and more. Give your opinion. Express what you think. Express what you feel in the situation. Every situation, every encounter with every individual at this point now is an opportunity to do that and to acknowledge that uncomfortableness, to also acknowledge that you aren't running in that direction of being invisible, to acknowledging that you are different now than you were when you were a small one, and to not react to the other individual's reactions or responses.
Yeah.
That, I would say, is a lot. I would also say that that is definitely a significant challenge at this point. But you are ready to move in this direction. And this is the reason that you are where you are at this present time. And remind yourself on a daily basis, everything is interconnected. Therefore, the more you give yourself the permission to use every encounter as an opportunity and to move forward and to practice and to express yourself more, the more you move in the direction of actually what you want in relation to a new relationship, a new job, new relationships with old individuals, such as family or even friends. And being successful and generating more clarity. Because when you are hiding, you aren't clear.
Right.
In that, giving the individuals that you love the opportunity to meet you and to know who you are now.
I hear you.
I would say they deserve that, do they not? Do you not agree?
I do agree. And I know that that's what they want. And I know that that is what I ultimately want also.
Precisely.
Before we go, I just wanted to ask one other question. So you had said my mom was, I guess just an update on my mom. The experiences she was having before, the brain thing is apparently gone and she's been cancer free and all that. Is she still moving towards disengagement at this point, or has she shifted that?
I would say that temporarily that has been stayed.
So
That doesn't mean that she might not move back in that direction, but temporarily, that is on hold. But that is also very connected with you being present and what you are doing.
Right. That's been my impression. Yeah. So part of me wants to ask for a time frame, but I know that that's not really the point, and a lot is in flux right now.
I would agree.
All right. Well, the bell rang. That was all very useful, and feels very accurate. And I feel grateful. I feel very seen right now by you. So that's part of what I'm experiencing, which is always nice. And I feel challenged in a way, and I appreciate the challenge.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. I would very much be encouraging you, my friend.
Yeah.
I would very much express tremendous support. And I express great lovingness and friendship to you. I shall tremendously be anticipating our next meeting and your movement.
Me too. Thank you, my friend.
Wondrous, dear friend, as always. Au revoir.
Bye for now.